الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. We continue reading in the chapter the author she mentioned حفظها الله تعالى تربية الأولاد تربية الأولاد cultivating and raising and educating the children التربية الإسلامية الصحيحة the proper and the correct Islamic cultivation and education, cultivating the children upon the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal and upon the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, cultivating the children upon loving the companions of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wa radiyallahu anhum and following that way, cultivating them upon loving the truth and loving the way of the righteous and the pious, and loving honesty and diligence, and detesting everything that which is contrary to al-Islam, and contrary to the rulings, the legislation and the law of Allah Azza wa Jal, contrary to the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, striving to be diligent to raise the child and cultivate the fitrah that it was created upon, and to nourish that and to keep that clean, and to raise the child upon a good path, upon a path that will lead to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, upon the path of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, on a path of knowledge and application, on a path of light and insight, on a path of goodness, far away from evil and misguidance, far away from ignorance and following desires and blind following the customs and the cultures of the people. The customs and the cultures of the people. So the author, حفظه الله تعالى, she has mentioned a number of points clarifying how to begin this cultivation and how to begin this education. And it begins at the very first stages, even whenever the child is a baby. That one, he will be taught first to say the name of Allah, and likewise to point to the heavens, indicating that Allah Azza wa Jalla is above the heavens, and planting the seed of faith in the heart of the child from the very beginning, and likewise cultivating the child upon the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam by teaching it to eat his food, to eat the food with the right hand, and the likes, and likewise whenever he's able to speak, to teach the child to say Bismillah, and that whenever the child he takes something likewise or gives something, you help the child and direct him to do that with his right hand and not with his left hand. And we have seen as well that whenever the child is able to comprehend and to understand, he will be taught the pillars of al-Islam, and likewise the pillars of al-Iman, as well as the pillar of al-Ihsan. They will be mentioned to him, and they will be mentioned to the child, and the child will memorize them. And the child will memorize them and understand them, and they will know that al-Islam, it has five pillars. That al-Islam, it has five pillars. And the first pillar is to testify and bear witness that nothing is worthy of worship except for Allah. Is to bear witness and to testify that nothing is worthy of worship except for Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the slave and the messenger of Allah. And they will be taught these affairs and clarify these affairs according to their understanding and according to their ability. In the beginning, it will be very simple, and then as they grow, then the knowledge will be added additionally, and according to the mindset and the maturity of the child. But it begins in a very early stage, cultivating the fitrah and raising the child upon al-Islam, the Islam of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions radiyallahu anhum. Likewise, we've seen in the previous class as well that from the necessary affairs as well, whenever the child reaches the age where it comprehends, to teach it how to make the wudu, to teach the child how to make the purification in preparation for the salat, and how to keep the body clean, and how to keep the body clean as well. All of these affairs are issues that it's incumbent for the parents to cultivate in their child, and to teach them, and to educate them, and to raise them upon this way. In our previous class, we were reading the point number 7, whenever the author she mentioned حفظه الله تعالى إذا أكل من إناء فقولي له يأكل من الذي يليه, that if the child eats from a dish, then you should say to it, O my sister, that he must eat from that which is near to him or in front of him. That which is near to him or in front of him. ففي الصحيحين من حديث عمر ابن أبي سلمة رضي الله عنهما أنه قال كنت غلاما في حجري رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وكانت يدي تطيش في الصحفة فقال لي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا غلام سم الله وقل بيمينك وقل مما يليك. And the narration continues, and after this Omar, he says, رضي الله عنه, فما زالت تلك طعمتي بعد. فما زالت تلك طعمتي بعد. So she mentioned the narration which is in Sahihain from the hadith of Umar ibn Abi Salama. Umar ibn Abi Salama, رضي الله عنهما, he was a young boy. He was a young boy and he was under the care of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his mother is Salama, from the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and from the mothers of the believers. So her son was under the care of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and whenever he first came into the home of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions this affair, wa kanat yadi tatishu fi as-sahfa, that my hand used to go about through the dish, meaning that whenever he would sit and eat, then he would put his hand here and there and picking through the dish in different places and the likes like this. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to him while he's a young boy, he said, ya gulam, O you young boy, sammillah, yani qul bismillah, sammillah, meaning say bismillah, yani before you eat and before you put your hand in the dish, you remember the name of Allah azza wa jal, and you say bismillah. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَقُلْ بِيَمِينِكَ, and eat with your right hand, وَقُلْ مِمَّا يَلِيكَ, and eat from that which is near to you, meaning from that which is in front of you from the dish, meaning from that which is in front of you from the dish. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's directing this young boy who is under his care, who is the child of his wife, Salama radiallahu anha. And in the beginning, he did not know the manners, radiallahu anhu, Umar ibn Abi Salama. He was a young boy and he was not any aware of these etiquettes of eating and the likes like this. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarified these manners to him in the most beautiful manner. Clarified these manners to him in the most beautiful manner without reproaching him or without speaking ill to him or without calling him names or making him feel bad. Without any of these foul or bad manners, rather he directed him in a noble and in a good way. Rather, he directed him in a noble and a good way, and he addressed him saying, O young boy, O young boy, ya gulam, sammillah. Whenever you eat, you say the name of Allah, you say bismillah. And then whenever you eat, waqul bi yaminik, and eat with your right hand, and eat with your right hand, waqul mimma yadika, and eat from that which is close to you, meaning from the dish, from the dish. So in this narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he clarified three etiquettes from the etiquettes and manners of eating. And he clarified them in a kind and a gentle way, without harshness. And this had a great effect on this young boy, Umar ibn Abi Salama, radiallahu anhuma. And in the end of this narration, it's mentioned, and he commented about this affair. He said, فَمَا زَالَتْ تِلْكَ طِعْمَتِي فَمَا زَالَتْ تِلْكَ طِعْمَتِي بَعْدُ. He said, and ever since then I continue to eat in this manner. And he meaning ever since the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he advised him in this manner and directed him with this guidance and clarified these affairs for him with regards to these etiquettes of eating. He said, the manners in which I eat remained upon these manners whenever I eat all the way until now. And he meaning that this is something that affected him and that he benefited from. This advice and the direction and guidance from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he took it sincerely and he abided by that. And this is many times the result of giving true and sincere advice and also doing that in a kind and a gentle manner, wanting good for the people and directing them, and likewise directing them in a manner that is kind and courteous, without harshness and without rudeness. So he was affected by that, and this remained the way that he remained upon that way even after that. رضي الله عنه radiyallahu anhu. So likewise as well, whenever we cultivate our children, or whenever we correct them, or whenever we find them doing something that is not proper or not according to the etiquettes of Al-Islam, or that which is not from the best manners, then they should be corrected, and they should be shown and the right way, and they should be directed. And this should be done first and foremost with a good intention, hoping to help them and direct them so they will be upon a good path. And likewise, to do that in a gentle and in a nice manner, without harshness and without belittling and without making them feel insignificant. Insignificant. Rather, the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was contrary to that. He was merciful and he was kind and he was patient and he was forbearing and dealing with those under his care. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there are three etiquettes here that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching this young boy. He's teaching this young boy with regards to eating, and this is very important and from the manners and etiquettes of Al-Islam. The first one is that whenever one eats, he says the name of Allah. Ya gulam, samillah. Ya gulam, samillah. Oh young boy, say the name of Allah. Meaning, remember Allah Azza wa Jal with your tongue by saying Bismillah, and remember His favors and blessings and bounties likewise with your heart, and seek His aid and help by mentioning Him and remembering Him. And what is intended here is the tasmiyah. So this is the meaning of the tasmiyah. Anyone will say Bismillah, and this is what is required here. And the time of eating, one he will say Bismillah, and this is more proper and preferred because this is what has come in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, then this is not the place for that, and Allah knows best. And it has been collected by At-Tirmidhi from the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِذَا أَكَلَ أَحَدُكُمْ طَعَامًا فَلْيَقُولْ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ فَلْيَقُولْ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ فَإِنْ نَسِيَ في أوله فليقول بسم الله في أوله وآخره بسم الله في أوله وآخره. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned in this narration that if one of you were to eat food, then he should say Bismillah. And this is the shahid here to clarify the meaning or the interpretation of this wording here. يا غلام سم الله. What does it mean to make the tasmiyah? It means to say Bismillah only, without mentioning the other attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. So therefore, when he will say Bismillah, if one of you eats, فَلْيَقُلْ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ فَلْيَقُلْ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, and if one of you forgets to say Bismillah in the beginning of his food, then let him say, whenever he remembers, Bismillahi fi awwalihi wa akhirihi. Bismillahi fi awwalihi wa akhirihi. That in the name of Allah, in the beginning of the food and in the end of the food. So this is the methodology of a believer and of a Muslim while he is eating. And this is from the manners and etiquettes that it's incumbent for us to raise our children upon. And this is the point here. Ya gulam, samillah. Yani, say Bismillah. Say Bismillah. But likewise, we have to educate the child as well and inform them and teach them that this is not just a simple statement that is said on the tongue, but rather this is a statement that has great meaning and great benefit for the one who understands it, for the one who comprehends it and understands it. And to say Bismillah, it means that you are remembering the name of Allah and that you are performing that action in the name of Allah, seeking His help and seeking His blessing, seeking the help of Allah Azza wa Jal and seeking His blessing. And this is why when he says Bismillah, so the people of knowledge, they mentioned that the Bismillah or the Tasmiyah, this is Kalimatul Istiyana. Kalimatul Istiyana, meaning that you're seeking the help of Allah Azza wa Jal. So whenever a person, he does something, for example, like eating his food, he is doing this in the name of Allah, seeking the help and the aid of Allah, and likewise the blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal. So therefore, this is also, along with it being an action of the tongue, it is as well an action of the heart. And this is whenever there is great benefit from the likes of these adhkar and from these remembrances and remembering the name of Allah with the tongue and with the heart. This is a means to bring about great goodness and benefit for a believer in this life and in the hereafter. And this is what is intended by saying the name of Allah, Bismillah. You say it with your tongue and you mean it with your heart, seeking His help and hoping for His favor and hoping for His blessing, Subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he guided this young child, this young boy, likewise to another etiquette and manner from the manners and etiquettes of eating, and that is to eat with the right hand. وَكُلْ بِيَمِينِكَ. And eat with your right hand, meaning don't eat with your left hand. You eat you eat with your right hand. It has been connected by the Imam Muslim from the Hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَا تَأْكُلُ بِالشِّمَالِ فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَأْكُلُ بِالشِّمَالِ. Do not eat with your left hand. Do not eat with your left hand, because indeed the shaitan, he eats with his left hand. So it's not allowed to imitate or to resemble or to be like the devil, or the people who follow the devil from the disbelievers. Rather, a Muslim, he follows the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his way with regards to eating and his etiquettes with regards to al-ta'am wa sharab, annahu kana yakulu bi yaminihi ba'da tasmiyati Allahi azza wa jal, that he used to eat with his right hand after mentioning and remembering the name of Allah azza wa jal. Also, it has been connected by the Imam Muslim from the Hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِذَا أَكَلَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَأْكُلْ بِيَمِينِهِ وَإِذَا شَرِبَ فَلْيَشْرَبْ بِيَمِينِهِ فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَأْكُلُ بِشِمَالِهِ وَيَشْرَبُ بِشِمَالِهِ. That if one of you is going to eat, then let him eat with his right hand. And if he's going to drink, then let him drink with his right hand. Because indeed, the shaitan, he eats with his left hand and he drinks with his left hand. So this is something likewise to cultivate the children upon. So in the beginning, maybe the child is not able to differentiate, but he's small. So one, he will hand the food to the child in the right hand. Or the one, if the child is eating with the left hand, you can simply take it out of his hand gently and put it in his right hand. And try to help him to learn this by himself, even if he does not understand. But even if he's eating with his left hand while he's a child, it's not blameworthy for him, and he's not held accountable for this. But the point for mentioning this affair now for the author is the cultivation. That it begins even whenever they're a child, even whenever they're a baby, even whenever they're little. And whenever they get older to understand and comprehend, then they'll be reminded time after time. And even if the child, he keeps forgetting to eat with his left hand because of forgetfulness and the likes like this, one would not be rude to him and one would not say bad words to him, oh, you're like the devil or you're like this. No, he would just be reminded every time. And the children, they forget. And the mind of a child is not like the mind of an adult. Many times they forget very easily. And they just have to be reminded and they have to be directed. And if that is done in a good manner, inshallah, it will benefit them, as in the manner here it benefited Umar ibn Abi Salama radiallahu anhuma in this narration. Likewise, the point here for this particular point that the author has mentioned is the third etiquette and manner that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directed this young child to in this narration, وَقُلْ مِمَّا يَلِيكَ, and eat from that which is close to you. Meaning, if you're eating from a dish, eat from the food that is close to you. And the people of knowledge, they mention that this is the case whenever a person is eating with a number of people from the same dish, that he will not put his hands in front of the food which is in front of another person. This is considered bad manners. As for if a person is eating from a dish by himself, then inshallah, it's Allah for him to put his hand in the front or on the side, or wherever he likes. But the people of knowledge clarified that one, he would not eat from the middle of the plate, even if he's eating by himself. And this is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Al barakatu tanzilu wasat al-ta'am," that the blessing descends into the middle of the food. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered to eat from the edges of the plate until he reaches the middle in this manner like this. So this is also from the etiquettes of eating and from the sunnah of the noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to eating and drinking. So when he will eat the food that is in front of him, this is in the case whenever he's sharing a dish with a number of people. Also, there's another exception that people of knowledge, they mentioned with regards to this, and this is whenever the dish that is in front of the people has a number of different items or a number of different types of food. So if that type of food that the person is hoping to eat or he's desiring to eat is not in front of him, it's allowed for him to reach over and grab the one that he wants and put it in front of him. But the point now from the obligation or from the point now from the order, here to eat from the food in front of a person is because this is good manners. And whenever the people are sharing a dish and there is food in front of each individual, the fact that a person, he will reach over and put his hand in the food of another person and take that from in front of them, this is considered bad manners. So this should be avoided, and this is something that we raise and cultivate our children upon. As for with regards to the tasmiyah, then Allah knows best. This is an obligation. This is an obligation in the beginning of the food. And if a person, he forgot that, then he will mention it whenever he remembers, in the manner that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, Bismillahi fi awwalihi wa akhirihi. Bismillahi fi awwalihi wa akhirihi. And likewise, eating with the right hand as well is an obligation. Is an obligation, because it's not allowed. It's not allowed for a person to imitate the devil. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And eating with the left hand, this is the way and the manners of the devil and the people upon his path. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So after this, the author, she says, حَفِظَهَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَوِّدِيهِ عَلَى الْخَيْرِ وَإِذَا كَانَ ابْنَ سَبْعِ سَنَوَاتٍ فَدَرِّبِهِ عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ. So now she mentions the eighth point, and that is to cultivate and to accustom the child upon goodness. To cultivate and to accustom the child upon goodness. And you make the child accustomed and used to doing actions of goodness. And from that, she says that whenever the child reaches the age of 7, that you must discipline him and train him how to pray. You must discipline the child and train the child, teach him how to pray. قال أبو داود حدثنا مؤمل بن هشام يعني يشكري قال حدثنا إسماعيل عن سوار أبي حمزة قال أبو داود وهو سوار ابن داود أبو حمزة المزني الصيرفي عن عمرو بن شعيب عن أبيه عن جده أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مروا أولادكم بالصلاة وهم أبناء 7 سنين واضربوهم عليها وهم أبناء 10 سنين وفرقوا بينهم في المضاجع والحديث إسناده حسن. So she says, now it's been Abu Dawood, he mentioned, meaning in his authentic collection Sunan Abi Dawood, that he mentioned a narration with his chain. She mentions the chain that Muhammad ibn Hisham, and he is Al-Yashkuri, he narrated that Ismail narrated to them, and Ismail ibn Ulayya, that Suwair Abi Hamza narrated to them. Abu Dawood, he mentioned that Suwair ibn Abi Hamza, he is Abu Hamza al-Muzani. Suwair ibn Dawood, Abu Hamza al-Muzani al-Sayrafi. And he mentioning some of these narrators, mentioning this chain, because there is some slight deficiency in the chain, although it is corrected or it is rectified and mended, because it has come in a number of different narrations. And she's referring to some benefits here with regards to Mustalah Hadith. So those sisters who have attended the classes on Mustalah Hadith, maybe they would understand some of these benefits. And we have just recently covered the issue of a hadith al Hassan, which she is mentioning here. What hadithu isnaduhu Hassan, and this narration, this chain, is Hassan. So she mentions here wa Muammar ibn Hisham thiqa wa Ismail huwa ibn Ulayya mashhur wa Sawwar saduqun lahu awham kama fi at-taqrib fa hadithuhu salihun lil-hujjiyyah ma lam yakun min akhta'ihi wa baqiyatu rijalihi ma'rufun wa lil-hadith tariqun ukhra min hadith Sabrah fi Abi Dawood raqam 94 wa 400. So she mentions that some benefits here with regards to those narrators in this chain. Mu'ammal ibn Hisham, he's thiqah, and he's reliable and upright. Ismail is ibn Ulayya, likewise, he's well known, thiqah and reliable. And Sawar, she says, is saduq, yani lahu awham, meaning that he's reliable in his religion, but his memorization or his ability and narration is a bit deficient, and he has some mistakes. And yani, this is the point of weakness in the narration. And this is what is mentioned by Ibn Hajar in his book Al-Taqrid. But it's mentioned likewise that his weakness is something light, and his narrations will be considered acceptable so long it was not clarified that it's from his mistakes. And in the rest of the people in this chain are good and well known. But this narration has another chain. That this narration has another chain, and he also verifying this same narration and the same information, this is the proof, or this is the evidence, that this particular narrator did not make a mistake in this narration, because there's another narration from another chain clarifying the same issue. So therefore, this is not from his mistakes, and this is the aspect of this narration here be considered hasan. And he hasanun li ghayrihi wallahu a'lam. So she says now, this is the case. The hadith has another chain, and it's from the hadith of Sabra radiallahu anhu. Sabra ibn Ma'bad radiallahu anhu. And in the wording of Sabra, it says, Alimu as-sabi as-salat ibn sab'a sinin wadribuhu alayhi ibn Ashr. So the narration is very similar. So in this narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Muru awladikum bis-salati wa hum abna'u sab'i sinin, that you should order your children with salat. You should order your children with salat whenever they are 7 years old, and that you beat them for that or upon that, and discipline them and beating them whenever they reach 10 years old. وَفَرِّقُوا بَيْنَهُمْ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ, and you separate them likewise at the age of 10 in the beds. You separate them as well at the age of 10 in the beds. This here is the narration of Abdullah ibn Amr, the one that she mentioned. Radiallahu anhuma, the one that she mentioned here. And likewise, the other narration from Sabra ibn Ma'bad, the wording says, Allimu as-sabi, teach the child. Allimu as-sabi, teach the child as-salat. Ibn as-sab'i sinin, whenever he's 7 years old. Wadribuhu alayha ibn ashr, and to beat him for that whenever he becomes 10 years old. So this is likewise a great narration in clarifying the methodology and the proper path in cultivating and raising the children. And that is to have great concern with the issue of salat, with the issue of as-salah, and that they will be cultivated and raised upon the salah at a very young age. At a very young age, as soon as they reach the age of a tamiz, where they're able to distinguish, and they're able to comprehend, and they're able to understand and to realize, and the likes like this, to realize affairs, and to know, and to respond, and to think, and the likes like this in general, although they have not reached the age of puberty. And this generally comes at the age of 7. And this generally comes at the age of 7, the time whenever the mind becomes strong enough to determine and to differentiate between good and bad and from right and wrong in general. And the likes like this, and they start to think and they start to respond and the likes, they're able to respond to their parents and to questions and so on and so forth. At this time, they will be taught how to pray. At this time, they will be taught how to pray. So it's incumbent for the parents or for the guardian to teach them how to pray. And likewise to order them with the prayer at the age of 7. At the age of 7. But the people of knowledge, they clarify at this time, this is an obligation upon the parents and not an obligation upon the child. And it's an obligation upon the parents to order the child to pray, but it's not an obligation for the child to pray at this time. It's not an obligation for the child to pray at this time. So therefore, the order to pray here at this time, at the age of 7, between the age of 7 and the age of 10, the order to pray here is Amru at-Targhib wa at-Tahbib. Amru targhiban wa at-Tahbib. This is the type of order that one will order the child in order to encourage them. In order to encourage them. And in order to also to draw them close. Yani, and to make their prayer beloved to them. Not in order. Laysa amra ilzam. It's not or ijab. It's not the type of order where you force them. Or amru shidda. It's not a harsh order likewise. Rather, it's an order of encouragement. So the child, he will be ordered to pray. You would tell the child, salli, go pray. Did you pray yet? Did you pray fajr? Did you pray maghrib? Did you pray dhuhr? Did you pray asr? Like this, go pray. Go pray. Like this, he would just be simply told to pray. He will hear these words from his guardian. He will hear these words from his father, from his mother, and the likes like this, for the one who has authority over him. Go pray. Salli. Allah, he loves those who pray. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, he loves those who pray. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, go pray. And if he prays, alhamdulillah. And if he doesn't pray, alhamdulillah. He will not be forced to pray. And if he doesn't pray, he will not be belittled. He will not be told, oh, you're a disbeliever because you don't pray. All of this is wrong. And all of this is not right. Rather, he will be ordered in a manner of encouragement. And he will be clarified that Allah, he loves those who pray. Allah, he loves the salah, the people the people who are upright, and the Muslims, they pray, and Allah loves those who pray, and the one who prays, he has a great reward with Allah Azza wa Jal, and you have much goodness and benefit in this life and in the hereafter. So he will be encouraged to pray, and the prayer will be made beloved to him and made to seem nice and good to him, and this is sufficient. He will not be forced to pray. And he would not be belittled if he didn't pray. And he would not be harmed or beaten or spoken bad to if he didn't pray. Rather, he would just be told to pray. Rather, he would just be told to pray. If he goes and prays, alhamdulillah. If he doesn't, then there's no blame on him. And there's no blame on the parent likewise. The obligation upon the parent is simply to encourage the child to pray. Whenever it's time for the prayer, the child will be encouraged to pray. If they're sleeping, you just nudge them a little bit until they hear you, and you tell them, go pray. Salli. Salli. It's time for salat. And then if they get up, alhamdulillah. If they don't get up, you don't wake them up, you leave them. They just hear that from you at this stage. They just hear that from you at this stage. 5 times a day, all throughout the day, whenever the prayers come, go pray. You tell him 1 time, 2 times, 3 times like this. Did you pray? No, not yet. Okay, go pray. And then if he runs off and plays, it's okay. You just leave him. You just leave him. So at this time, he's not able to bear that. If he was forced to pray, he's not able to hold that. So he will not be forced. He will not be forced. 7 years old, 8 years old, 9 years old, 3 years, it will continue in this manner. He's hearing this all the time. And along with that, especially whenever the child is seeing the other family members praying. The other child is seeing the other family members praying. The mother's praying in the house. Likewise, the father. The father, although the father, he will go and pray in the masjid. He should save some of his prayer for the home. Like the non-obligatory prayer or the sunnah prayer. He will pray that at home if possible. He will come to the masjid, for example, for Isha. And then go home and pray the sunnah of Isha in his house. And it's even good to pray that in a place where the child will see him sometimes, so the child knows that the father is praying and that the prayer is established in the home and in the masjid. In the home and in the masjid. So the child in these early years, he will see his family members praying and he will hear the order to pray and the encouragement to pray, but he will not be forced to pray. And until he reaches the age of 10. And now many times, although maybe he's still not of the age of puberty, the mind has matured much more. The mind has matured much more and he's able now to bear more responsibility. So now he will be made to pray at this time. Whenever they reach the age of 10, he'll be made to pray. And if they do not pray or they refuse to pray, then they will be disciplined by beating them. And this is a type of discipline that will be without causing physical harm and without bringing belittlement. Likewise, they will not be spoken to in a foul manner. They will not be belittled. They will be disciplined, but without belittling, without harming them. Rather, one will discipline them and spank them, for example, in a manner that is clarifying to the child that the parent is not happy with them and that they're not doing something right. Not in a manner that would physically harm them, not in a manner that would bruise them or anything more severe than that. Rather, in a light manner that displays that the parent is not happy with the child in this circumstance, and it's a means of discipline. And the parent will do this for the sake of Allah, following this sunnah here. And this is all in the best interest of the child, so that by the time the child reaches the age of puberty, whenever the salat becomes obligatory and the child is held accountable for praying, he would have the ability, it will be cultivated in him, and he will be accustomed to that. It will be easy for him to pray 5 times a day. It will not be hard and difficult. As for somebody did not follow this tarbiyah, did not follow this cultivation, and did not follow this education, little by little, planting the seed of faith in the heart and cultivating that seed and raising that belief in Allah and belief in the last day and belief in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and following his way, following his sunnah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, learning about the wudu, learning about the prayer, learning about the virtue of the prayer and the virtue of those who pray, learning likewise about the threat of those who do not pray, so on and so forth. And even whenever they're young, this is being cultivated in their hearts. And then on top of that, if they see that in application in their household and amongst their family members, then inshallah, it will be easy for them to continue upon that way. So this is something that's an obligation for the parents and for those who have guardianship and authority to raise the child upon that way. To raise the child upon that way and to help them and to facilitate for them that by the time they reach the age of puberty, it will be easy for them, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, to establish the prayer in a manner that is proper. The benefit from the wording of Sabra ibn Ma'bad radiallahu anhu that she referred to here, Allimu as-sabi as-salat, to teach the child. So in the wording that is well known from Abdullah ibn Amr, Muru abna'akum, or Muru awladakum, order your children, and you order them to pray. But it's benefited from this other narration that what does that mean to order them to pray? Likewise, to teach them how to pray. So you order them to pray, and you tell them to pray. But along with that, you teach them how to pray. You show them what to do, and you teach them what to say. You teach them the Fatiha, beginning with the pillars of the prayer, and that which is most important. To teach them the Fatiha, you teach them the Tashahud. You teach them the pillars of the prayer. You teach them the most important points of the prayer. And then you add little by little to the prayer after they learn the Fatiha, after they learn the Tashahud, after they learn what to say in the Ruku' and in the Sujood. Then after that, you teach them the Dua, Istiftah, and what to say in the opening of the prayer. Little by little, beginning with that which is most important and that which takes priority. And no doubt in the prayer, the greatest portion of that is the Fatiha. The greatest pillar, from the greatest pillars is the Fatiha. So they will learn that. So the child has to be taught these affairs. And it's incumbent upon the parents to cultivate their children upon this way. Either they will do that themselves, which is most preferred and which is better and highly, highly recommended, or they will pay somebody to do that. And they will pay for somebody. They will pay for somebody to teach and to discipline and to cultivate their child and teach them the affairs that's incumbent for them to know by sending them to the teachers or to those people who will discipline them and educate them and teach them these important affairs. But the parent should strive to take part in this and be the one first and foremost who has the greatest effort in cultivating the child and raising the child. And if along with that they also send the child to a reliable and a trustworthy teacher to teach them as well the affairs of the religion, this is all good, alhamdulillah. But it's very important for the parent to realize this affair and to have concern and great care for cultivating and nourishing and raising the child upon the fitrah of al-Islam, upon the creed of al-Islam, upon the worship and the obligations of al-Islam, upon fulfilling the rites, the sacred rites of al-Islam, and upon worshiping Allah alone with no partners, and surrendering and submitting to Him with obedience, and taking Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a role model, as a role model diligently. So this is something that we must be very concerned with in ourselves first and foremost, and then likewise in our children, and ask Allah to put blessing in our efforts. After this, she says, point number 10, دَرِّبِهِ عَلَى الصَّوْمِ. دَرِّبِهِ عَلَى الصَّوْمِ. To train him, train the child to fast. Training the child to fast. And he training him and helping him and teaching him this way and cultivating him upon this way. إِذَا كَانَ لَا يُضْعِفُهُ مِنْ أَجْلِ إِذَا كَبُرَ دَرِّبِهِ عَلَى الصَّوْمِ إِذَا كَانَ لَا يُضْعِفُهُ. إِذَا كَانَ لَا يُضْعِفُهُ. Teach him how? Teach him and discipline him and train him how to fast if it's not going to weaken him. Any meaning if the child is physically able. Meaning if the child is physically able, then he will be encouraged and taught how to fast. مِنْ أَجْلِ إِذَا كَبُرَ يَكُونُ مُتَدَرَّبًا عَلَى ذَلِكَ. يَكُونُ مُتَدَرَّبًا عَلَى ذَلِكَ. Because whenever he becomes old, he will be accustomed to that, and he will have training and experience with regards to that. So this is something likewise that's important. The child, whenever it's physically able, even though it's not an obligation for the child to fast, it will be encouraged to fast, and it will be taught about fasting, and mentioned the virtues of fasting. And likewise, it will be encouraged to fast as much as it could, especially in Ramadan. Especially in Ramadan, without putting any burden or hardship on the child. And if the child, for example, is young, and he began fasting because he wants to worship Allah in this manner. He wants to follow along with his family and the rest of the believers in Ramadan, for example, and fast. Then he will be encouraged to do that. But if it ever became difficult for him or hard for him in the middle of the day, he will be allowed to break his fast and it will be made easy for him. And he will not be forced to complete his fast because it's not incumbent for him to fast in the first place. So it will not be made hard on him. It will not be made difficult for him. He will be encouraged. And if he's able to, he will continue. And if he's not, then he will break his fast. And even if he's not able to at all, alhamdulillah, it's not upon him. The point is to cultivate this seed in the heart of the child, to learn about the fast and the obligation of the fast and the great reward from the fast, and that Allah, He loves those who fast, and the benefits of fasting, and that the Muslims, they fast, and that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast, so on and so forth, and helping them upon this way so that whenever they become of age, they will be accustomed to that, and it will be easy, insha'Allah ta'ala, for them to actually fulfill the obligation of fasting. So now she says, وَقَدْ بَوَّبَ الْبُخَارِي فِي صَحِيحِهِ بَابْ صَوْمِ السِّبْيَانِ. And Al-Bukhari has mentioned a chapter in his authentic collection, the chapter of fasting, the fasting of the young boys, or the fasting of the young children. The fasting of the young children. قَالَ حَدَثَنَا مُسَدَّدٌ قَالَ حَدَثَنَا بِشْرُ بْنُ فَضَّلٍ عَنْ خَالِدِ بْنِ ذَكْوَانِ عَنْ رُبَيِّعْ بِنْتْ مُعُوِّثْ قَالَتْ أَرْسَلَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ غَدَاةَ عَشُورَى إِلَى قُرَى الْأَنْصَارِ من أصبح مفطرا فليتم بقية يومه ومن أصبح صائما فليصوم. قالت فكنا نصومه بعد ونصوم صبياننا ونجعل لهم لعبة من العهن فإذا بكى أحدهم على الطعام أعطيناه ذلك حتى يكون عند الإفطار. So the author, he mentioned the narration which is in Bukhari under the chapter that about the fact that the children, they would fast. So she mentioned the chain of narration to Rubayya bint Mu'awwid radiyallahu anha. She says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sent a messenger out to the homes of the Ansar on the morning of Ashura. And he said that whoever woke up this morning and he is he's muftiran, and he meaning that he's not fasting, then he should complete the rest of the day fasting. And whoever woke up this morning, then he should complete the rest of the day. And whoever woke up this morning fasting, then he should fast. And this is the beginning of the legislation of fasting the day of Ashura. So she says, so we used to fast that day, and we also used to make our children fast. And we would make for them a toy from wool. We'd make for them a toy from wool. And if the child began crying, hoping for the food, because of wanting to have some food, so if the child began crying, wanting to have some food, then we would give it this toy in order to preoccupy him until the time for al-iftar. So this is another evidence here with regards to the way of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that they would also cultivate the children upon fasting, and they would help them to fast. And if they were not able to make it, then they would try to preoccupy them with a particular toy and the likes like this. This one is a type of toy made of al-ihin. Al-ihin is a suf al-mulawwan. That is a type of wool. It's a type of wool. So they would be given a toy to play with and the likes like this to preoccupy them. But the toy, it would not be from the toys that are impermissible, and from those dolls that have faces and has images and shapes of the body, waliyadhu billah, as we have today. Rather, this is a toy that is made from wool, and it's something, and yeah, that's very simple. That's very simple. And the dolls that they had in those days, they were very simple. They did not have the shapes and the curves and the faces and the face of the human body like the dolls they have today. These type of toys, no doubt, they are impermissible. So if he's given a toy, it will be given a toy that is allowed and permissible. And this is something likewise that we will see as well, that it's incumbent for the parents to raise their children upon avoiding and staying away from that which is haram and forbidden, and staying away from everything that would earn the anger of Allah, and sufficing with that which is permissible and allowed. And the author, she will mention this point as well. Inshallah, we read in the classes to come. The next point is a very important point. Point number 11. She says, "علمي طفلك العقيدة الصحيحة." علمي طفلك al-aqidah as-sahiha. Teach your child the correct aqidah. And then she mentioned the narration of Ibn Abbas and radiyallahu anhuma. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him while he's riding on an animal with him, Ya gulam, inni u'allimuka kalimat. And inshallah we continue in the class to come. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.